Thunder fills the Tallahassee skies above me as we were recording right now, but the weather on the pitch on Saturday was probably best described as a very grey day indeed. Welcome to Tallahassee End podcast episode number 354. Here with me this evening, or lunchtime if you live in Maine, is Mr. Ross Webber. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just after lunchtime, and it's a very lazy day. I played two games of football yesterday, so it was just pizza for lunch. I've had my lunch. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk about Reading.
Big. Well, maybe we'll circle back to pizzas later on. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Let's see what's going to happen. We are going to get into the Burton recap to relive very, very long first half and a slightly shorter second half. But before we do that, massive thanks as always to ZCZ Films, who once again are continuing to support us with all the things that we want to do on this podcast. So thanks very much, guys. Let's head straight into the recap now with the game against Burton Albion to talk about.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right, Ross. It wasn't vintage football. It wasn't liquid football, was it really? Five changes were made in obviously the lead up to the game. We had T-Mac came back in, Matt Carson, Holly Dean, Harvey Nibbs and Lewis Wing, only a second appearance for Reading, which is quite crazy when we're into October already. I mean, let's talk first of all about personnel. Do you think bringing those players in made any difference to, you know, the way we were playing stylistically?
I liked the idea. It was definitely the first time this season when it took me quite a while with the team sheet to kind of work out what the formation actually was, because I hadn't got to see Tyler Bindham play at right back yet. And obviously there are so many midfielders and attackers in sort of fluid positions for Reading this year that it's kind of difficult to know exactly. And by the way, whenever they list team sheets by number rather than like by position, that's my least favorite. That's one of my biggest pet peeves in all of football. It's so annoying. But anyway, so yeah, I thought it was an interesting lineup on Saturday. I think that I'd like to see more of Lewis Wing. I definitely feel after what we discussed last week that, you know, that's the way forward for Reading, is to try and rely on a player who's got a little bit more to their game. I don't think that they did anything particularly poorly defensively. Not that Burton really challenged us that much defensively, but Lewis Wing just offers us, you know, a little bit of both the attacking and defensive side. He was able to take good shots from range, you know, as well as actually helping with the build-up and stuff. So I was pretty happy to see him. I was a little disappointed by Ben Elliott, and I don't know how you felt about him, but I thought we'd get a little bit more out of Elliott during this game. It felt like he had been asked to stay incredibly central, and it just wasn't really working for him. He wasn't really finding the spaces that he needed to interact with Aziz and to interact with really any of his right-sided players in the way that he was, especially against Exeter in the Cup. So, yeah, a little bit disappointed by Elliot, but definitely I don't think it's time to, like, drag him out of the lineup just yet.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, on paper, it's another point. We moved up a space in the table. You know, it kind of put us back on track from the horror show against Blackpool in the previous week. But, yeah, look, I mean, when you look at the stats, you know, we had 20 shots, 7 on target. Burton had 3 shots, 1 on target. That tells you who was trying to win the game, really, with all due respect to Burton. Right. And I just feel that with the players we had on the pitch and the players that we had at our disposal on the bench as well. You know, Rashisha was on the bench for the first time in a while. You know, obviously Vickers missed out through what we gather is illness. But I feel like we should have had enough, and there was a spell in the second half, you know, the first sort of 5-6 minutes where we were just absolutely battering them. And, you know, look, to be fair to him, Croker made some good saves. According to the stats, there were 7 key saves that he made. So effectively, you know, man of the match kind of performance from the goalkeeper. But we should have had enough to win the game. And we've always said, you know, on this podcast previously, that we've got to win the home games. And when you're playing a team like Burton, who you know are going to kind of sit in a relatively low block and just invite that pressure, we should have been able to do something. You know, I was asked after the game. I'm not going to name drop here. It was Robbie Savage, but I won't name drop. He said, "What would you do for Northampton?" Right, right. And we'll talk about Northampton later on. But I said, realistically, you keep the defence as it is, you know, because you can't really change it after a clean sheet. You keep the midfield because I think realistically Charlie Savage has got to, he's got to develop a partnership now, and we're going to talk about Charlie Savage later on in the mailbag. But you know, Lewis Wing I thought looked okay, like he kind of freed up Savage a little bit, but just the strikers, like they just didn't seem to have enough, and whether the kind of Aziz experiment is going to continue to work, I don't know. You know, we talked about him after Bolton, that 20 minutes they had was great, but I didn't see that from him on Saturday, really, and I want to see it from him. Like I want to get behind him. I want him to play and score and all the rest of it. But it just in that final third, the balance just wasn't there, really. I mean, you know, after the game, I was just going to just tell you about what Seller said. So Seller said that we controlled the game, but we need more quality. I mean, would you agree with that statement, Ross?
Not really, because, I mean, Kelvin had two shots that were pretty close to going in, and honestly, he probably should have done a little bit better with them within the first 10 to 15 minutes of the second half. And if that goes in, we're talking about an incredibly comfortable win today, in which, you know, the opposition's not even able to really trouble us. I think Button was probably cold during the game. I mean, was it warm in England on Saturday? What was it like?
It was all right. Like, it was sort of mild, I guess, if that's... Okay. You're allowed to say that about weather.
Okay, so Button was nice temperature. All right, so that's all right. No, yeah, I thought the issue on Saturday, personally, was that everything was going far too centrally, and this is an issue that Red Bull teams have had in the past. Leeds were having this particular issue last year. Jesse Marsh was asked to talk about it a few times, whereby he said, well, we play in the middle because the goal is in the middle, which is a perfectly fine thing to say, but you may have noticed that there are 11 players playing against you on a football field who are trying to stop you from getting to that goal. And so you use that wide space, obviously, to spread things apart. It's what Grealish does for Man City. He sits on the touchline and he just spreads the opposition defense apart. So you do need width, or at least you need some sort of verticality, some sort of ability to like change the tempo and the length of the passes, just to vary things up a little bit. And I really thought it was a shame that Vickers wasn't available on Saturday. I thought that he was Reading's best player in the Exeter route. Obviously, that was a little while ago now. But I thought that he's the guy who really has that little extra bit of a creative spark. Kelvin can do basically everything in terms of hold up play, and he's a good shot. And I have no doubt that the next chance he gets, he'll score now that he's seen two saved. But Vickers is really where the intelligence and the craft seems to be coming from in that pair. So it was disappointing that he couldn't play and that he couldn't come on even as a sub to give us something a little bit extra when we were running out of ideas in that second half. But we really should have enough to beat Burton at home anyway, really. And if one of those Kelvin shots goes in, then that's what happens. But fine margins. And right now, you know, I thought it was going to be a slow start, but we are running up against these fine margins week in, week out. I want to briefly touch on with you the Bindon at right back experiment, because I wasn't super sure about that. I want to make it clear that what appeared to be happening during build up is that Bindon was slotting in on the left, or the right side, sorry, of a back three, and then McIntyre would go to the left. And that obviously stopped once McIntyre went out. But the idea there was that they were pushing Carson higher up the field, and then putting Harley Dean into the middle of McIntyre and Bindon to pass further up the field. Then I thought they did pretty good with that, but then later on, when Bindon was asked to play more as a conventional right back, I wasn't super sure about that. Doesn't seem like his real skill set. But interested in your take there and whether you changed the defense up.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought Tom Mack, when he came in, I thought he looked all right, you know, until he had that fairly nasty injury. What was it, sort of just before half time or whatever. So I feel like, you know, he would, I mean, it's unlikely that he's going to be fit for Tuesday because of a head injury or potential concussion. You know, when you are able to keep a clean sheet, I don't think you can justify, really, unless you're changing the formation completely, I don't think you can really justify changing the defence. So I think it stays as is. I think it says a lot about how Sellers values Bindon, much like you, Ross, really, in the fact that he brought Yeardham on for Carson, whereas the logical would have been to kind of swap him over, you know, in terms of him and Bindon, but didn't do that. I mean, I guess when, you know, you talk about width earlier, the key question really is, do Ben Elliott and Harvey Nibbs, who were kind of in those wider positions on Saturday, do they keep their place for tomorrow night, you know, Tuesday against Northampton?
I'm starting to see, you know, I think that there's a reason why he's kept his spot. And I think that, you know, he's put in good performances for Reading, obviously Harvey Nibbs, but it does now seem that there is some call among the fan base to at least see what Makaru can do in that position. And I don't think that he was amazing when he came on Saturday, but he's definitely had something a little bit different to Nibbs. Nibbs starts on the left side of the midfield, and then that man finds himself everywhere, all over the field. He is full of running. I think it's because he's making cutting runs across the box and things like that, and then he's at the end of that, and he finds himself in the right-back position. He's like, whatever, I might as well, you know, join in here. But I do think it's time just to see what else we've got here. And I think Makaru's been pretty interesting so far in his few appearances. So yeah, we're bringing in Wing, we're bringing in Makaru. I think it's time just to give Harvey Nibbs a rest. And especially once Sam Smith comes back, there's definitely going to be a lot of call for him to play with his old playmate at Cambridge. So, yeah, I think it's time for Makaru.
I mean, it's difficult because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket with Sam Smith coming back, but really he's kind of like the missing link at the moment to this team, I think, in terms of, you know, propelling us where we probably need to be in terms of consistency of performances and results. I mean, you know, he did, on Saturday, he did empty his bench, whether that was forced or whether that was, you know, optional in terms of changes. Obviously, Abby came in for McIntyre, who was obviously, as we said, taken off injured. But, you know, Ballard, we saw Rashisha right at the end. Hutchinson came on sort of quite near the end as well. Makaru, who we talked about, and Yeardon too. So there are, you know, there is a kind of a proactive element to what he's trying to do in terms of his management style and trying to affect the game with, you know, players that he trusts off the bench. Part of me just thinks, like, you've got to let things bed in. You know, we talk about Charlie Savage and another. It's a little bit like the centre-back pairing that we've been desperate for over the last couple of years in terms of, you know, stability. Like, you've got to allow these partnerships to develop. And, you know, would he be criticised for playing the same team? I mean, no, because they got what is technically a positive result. And as you say, and quite rightly, you know, they weren't a million miles from getting a goal or two. And I think if we were recording this pod on Saturday night, I would be a lot more despondent than I am now because, you know, Saturday night, I was just absolutely on the floor of it, really. It was kind of the lowest I think I've been as a Reading fan. And again, I don't want to keep sort of talking about Burton and being disrespectful, but we have to win those games at home if we want to stay in this league. And yeah, we are talking about staying in the league at the moment in October. So it's tricky. And I think, as with a lot of these games that we've got, you know, he made five changes. I don't think anyone can blame him for that from Blackpool. I think they were the right changes, probably. You know, I think bringing those players in was a positive thing. Just didn't quite come off. So me personally, I wouldn't be massively disappointed if I, you know, started watching the game, which is available on Rawls TV, by the way. Little plug there if you're not going to the game. And he had the same team out on Saturday to begin with. I wouldn't be irritated by that. However, I'd probably be looking for a little bit more off the bench in terms of attacking quality. You know, we're playing a team that's sort of fairly low down in the league as well. All right, our away form is absolute toilet, but, you know, we have to be winning games now. There's really no two ways about it. So we'll see.
Sort of what you're talking about between like betting in and like winning games and all of that kind of stuff. I think it actually kind of weirdly links nicely to your Harvey Nibs question and Makaru. I think all of this goes together and the fans are reasonably happy with how things have been going so far. They like the lineups. They like that we're able to get results with a younger team, like we talked about a few weeks ago. But I think that, like I was saying, with the formation and the lack of width, that's where there are some issues like cropping in, or some rumblings of discontent with Sellers' style. And it is difficult to know what his backup formation might be. I talked a little bit at the end of the summer about him using a 4-3-3 with Southampton, and that might be a way for him to try and get more width into our formation if we were to use Makaru or maybe Ballard or Vickers, Aziz, really anyone as a right winger or left winger in a midfield three. That would also allow us to get Savage, Elliott and Wing together in the middle to provide a little bit more stoutness while also not needing to bring Sam Hutchinson in to do your defending, which I think is just better for the long-term success of the team. And I think that it is worth thinking about whether a change in formation would help at this point, because like I was saying, we can get a little bit stagnant when we're going down the middle sometime in games. Sometimes it works really, really well, but I think that we need a plan B that it involves a little bit more width in order to just give us like something extra when we run out of ideas. Because right now it seems like we try the same thing for about an hour, and if it doesn't work, then we're a little bit out of luck in a game. So I definitely, Sellers is being proactive. He's trying to make changes to affect the team, which is great. But I think that if there's anything I'd like to see him develop between now and, you know, November, sort of December time, it's really developing that plan B properly.
It's almost like we needed a pre-season and a squad that was assembled quite early on in that
right,
season to be able to iron some of this crap out, really. But, you know, here we are.
Right.
In the pressure.
Last thing I'll say on this weekend, the real big thing that frustrated me was Mbenge out 6 weeks. That is an absolute pain in the neck. And I'm not sure if Bindon starts at right back on Saturday if Mbenge is available. So, yeah, not happy about that one.
It's this is a story of the last three or four seasons where we kind of start to see the best of players and then they get injured and you know, 6 weeks is a real kicker. I will have to just watch this space. I mean, I would imagine that 6 weeks is probably a bit of a conservative estimate with that, but you don't know. I suppose the positive is that we've had the Oxford game postponed because that gives us a little bit more time to continue to work on things. But yeah, the team selection's really, for me personally, quite interesting at the moment because it gives you an insight into what he's kind of expecting. And I know that's quite an obvious statement, but bearing in mind he's still getting to know this squad and they're still trying to gel and all the rest of it, whether that's experience like we talked about last week or the young players, whatever. There still needs to be quite a lot of consistency in that approach and kind of getting them to work together a little bit more. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we get at 7:45 tomorrow evening. We're going to head into the mailbag. We've got a few kind of nuggets to get into. So we'll be right back after this short message.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Okay, welcome back to episode 354 of the Tilehurst End podcast. We've got some quite beefy questions, really. Nice. Niall, guilty, I support Reading. Everyone knows him, Reading 106. Currently in America, actually, so fair play for getting these in. He obviously strongly. I don't think he's kind of like what I'd class as cool America. He's in like touristy America. I know he went to Chicago and...
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. There's lots of nice places to see. There's touristy bits that... Hey, I just went on a honeymoon to Disney World earlier this year, so I mean, I can definitely be accused of being a tourist in the country in which I live.
You went to Disney World?
Yeah, it was pretty
fun. What was your favourite ride?
Time. Oh, I'm really rubbish on a lot of rides, but some of the classics are good. Big Thunder Railroad's a fantastic ride.
I love Wild West. I think it's awesome. But anyway, shut up. Yeah. Talk about Reading. He says, afternoon, chaps. And he wrote this at 2:56 in the morning, my time. So it probably was your afternoon. As in America's afternoon. Nestor Guinness Walker, what's he done? What does he need to do? For me, he's a much better option than Carson. That's point one. So bank that, and we'll come to that in a minute. Actually, no, we'll do that first, because there's a few that he's put. So we'll go Guinness Walker. What's he done, Ross?
I think this is another question that comes from the desire for width in the team, by the way. Like, these are all linked to the same thing for me. What's he done? We don't really know, do we? Because he kind of... He's one of the ones that dipped out of the team when Carroll, Holmes, McIntyre went as well. McIntyre obviously captained the team on Saturday before he went down, so he's clearly wormed his way back into Sellers' good graces. That doesn't surprise me because he's a more technical player than the other ones on that list, and that does appear to be the kind of player that Sellers wants. So I really can't say. I can't say if there's been something that's gone on between the managers. We've talked before, Ben, about thinking that he's more of a wing back than a full back. I can see some interest in trying to bring him back because so far Mola hasn't really worked there. And Carson is learning, I would say. I think that Carson at left back right now is reminding me of Holmes at right back when he first broke into the team, and there were good things about his game, but also drawbacks to his game. But ultimately, he wasn't the reason we were losing, when things were going wrong at that time. I don't know. I don't really know if something was said. I do still think that he's a wingback, though, and I just don't think that he can defend and attack. I'm not sure that any of our left backs have completely shown that they can do that yet. So, yeah, fair enough. Maybe he does deserve another look, but he hasn't been that great in the U21 games that he's been in either. So I don't think Sellers will be in a hurry.
Well, Guinness Walker was on the bench at what was essentially a capitulation against Southampton on Friday night for the under-21s. Totten, by the way, we were talking about last week about that stadium. It's in Totten, which is it's just a really weird part of Southampton, like a lot of places are, really. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. What I'd kill for, quite literally right now, is a Nicky Shorey type player, because that would just be perfect in this system. And really, I don't see, so he took Carson out, rightly so, gave him a break, it's kind of dabbled with Moda a little bit. Again, I think it's too early to start going, well, he's this type of player, he's that type of player, like, we've got to give him chances. But we are in... quite a dire situation that we need to pick up points, and so he's going to go back to players that he trusts, and he clearly doesn't trust Guinness Walker. That's my opinion anyway on it. So, because as Niall said, he probably would have come back into that kind of game, but yeah, there's clearly something there that we're not privy to. Second point from Niall, he says, Charlie Savage, what has or hasn't he done? Bit anonymous recently, I think. Maybe I'm being harsh. I think he's kind of our best option moving forward, personally. I think out of the available midfielders we've got for those positions, for me it has to be Savage and wing. I really like Rashisha as well. I think he's a fantastic player. I'm just not sure that he's ready for, full-time League One action. That, again, that's just based on what I've seen with the under-21s and maybe the physicality of the league, potentially. But, kind of going back to Savage as a player, how do you see him at the moment, Ross? Like, where does he fit in the scheme of what we're trying to do?
I was happy with his performance with Wing alongside him the other day. So let me put it this way with Savage. I think that when you've got a player who can do a lot of different things, especially in a central midfield position, there can be a tendency to try and ask him to do everything, you know, in that sort of box to box sort of sense that used to be super popular, especially in English football, but really with, you know, football through the world, having like a player who could bust from one side of the pitch to the other, you still do still see players like that around. And there are players who can do a little bit of everything and do it pretty well. I still think that I just don't think that means that there isn't a benefit to just picking the thing that you want your player to do on the field and having them do that well over and over again. And so for me, we see Savage pop up at the end of the on the edge of the opposition box to take shots. We see him running back towards his own net to try and, you know, cover the ground around the edge of our own penalty box. So I think that that shows that he's being asked to do a little bit of everything, or he's compensating for previous people in the team next to him that are meaning that he's having to do a little bit of everything. I'd like to see him as the fulcrum of the build-up, sort of where Danny Drinkwater played a few years ago towards the end of his stint in the 150th season, when he actually looked quite good. I think the Savage is a build-up facilitator. It does mean that we will lose some of the opportunities for him to shoot from the edge of the box, but he takes free kicks anyway, so he's going to get chances to shoot as the game goes on. So I think that's what I would say with him. I can understand with some people not always understanding what it is he gives the team, but I think that if you watch him in a small space, he's just very accomplished at getting out and maintaining the ball. And with Lewis Wing also being pretty good at that, but from what I've seen, what I saw during that game the other day, seems to be just a little more dangerous at the moment in the open field with a long shot. I think that I'd rather push Wing a little bit higher up the field and keep Savage as that build-up player. Savage and I tell you what, if we were using that sort of build-up back three with McIntyre and Bindon on either side of a more stout defender, it's a really nice triangle of technically proficient passers there with McIntyre, Savage and Bindon. So yes, I would like to think that there's going to be a little bit more out of Savage eventually, but I think that you get that started by having him do one role during a game rather than trying to ask him to do three or four, would be my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think he's being asked to do too much at the moment, and I don't think the team, and maybe Sellers, has found exactly his kind of number one role in the team. But for me, he starts every game. You know, there's undoubted quality there. I think there are times when he's probably asked to go and win the ball, when maybe he should be more elevated in terms of further up the pitch, and maybe someone else should be winning that ball for him and kind of laying it off so he can then kind of link in with the, you know, almost, again, it's pretty old school thinking, but kind of just in that slot between the, just kind of, you know, behind the front two, potentially kind of push him up a little bit more. But, you know, we are a little bit overrun in midfield at the moment, and I think that's, like you say, because he is being asked to do too much. Personally, for me, I think he's done just fine. You know, he popped up with a goal against Bolton, which was just an absolute peach, and he tried a couple of those, certainly from memory, on Saturday, and sometimes that'll come off, sometimes it won't. But, you know, I'm absolutely adamant that it's now got to be, you know, they've got to work on that partnership if we're going to continue to play this formation, which I still think long term is the right thing to do. We've got to really look at this now as a club and go, right, it's you two that are going to, you've got the shirt, it's yours to lose, basically, unless you do something horrific. Like, it's yours, get on with it, find your own feet within this particular setup. You know, to be fair to him, he's had so many different players next to him this season. You can't, you know, I said earlier about the centre-backs, you can't develop that partnership if it's constantly chopping and changing. And I, you know, my concern with Wing at the moment is he's been out for a long time. Can he play on Tuesday night? You know, can he go and play on Saturday again? That's three games in a week. Is his fitness level up to that? You know, that's really the key. So I think it's not really what Savage has done. I think it's more about the players next to him that haven't done, that have allowed him to be a little bit more... carefree is the wrong word, like a bit more fluid in his play. So that's just where I sit with it, really, personally. And the final thing from Niall, he's really taking the mick tonight. He says, finally, hear me out, which I know from his text messages means that he's going to come up with an absolutely ridiculous statement. But you know, exactly. He says, the kids beating Millwall, I'm obviously not saying it was a bad thing, but did the result automatically put a bit of unnecessary and unfair expectation on them, exasperated by how bad the senior team were playing? And he put senior team in inverted commas. So, yeah, that's a good... It's kind of a statement slash question.
That's a really good question.
What do you think? Really, I'll give you first right a reply to that, Ross.
Sorry, yeah, no, that's an excellent question though, because like if you think about it,
all right, he doesn't need this from you. Like, just answer the question. Yeah, it's a good question. Move on. Just answer it. He doesn't need all this. Oh no, it's amazing stuff.
All right, it's honestly a middling question. Sorry, Ben. All right. I'm complimenting the listeners too much. I think it's an interesting question because Aziz, the guy that we've been talking about recently, he's somebody that I think has been the victim of expectation at Reading, and that he came out of the trap scoring. And so everyone thought that's what he's going to be. He's going to be a scorer. And I think that what Aziz actually is probably more of a... he's a bit of a baller, and then he's a creative player as well. I don't think that he's really ever going to be a natural goal scorer, but right, you know, you get those expectations that come with that now. So yeah, maybe that wasn't such a great thing. But I mean, they followed it up a few weeks later by winning 9-0. So I can understand people getting just a little bit excited about, you know, those two results. But what about you?
I do agree with him. I think it forced the issue, which I think it needed to be at that time, because again, if we'd had a pre-season, we would have probably organically got to this point. But he, you know, he made the choice, you know, kind of not great results to start the season with what was the tried and tested team, in inverted commas, and it kind of forced it. Now, I still think that this is the right way to go. I still would much prefer to see a youthful Reading side who are trying to compete. Okay, you know, yep. Blackpool wasn't great, but we talked about that last week. Burton, in the grand scheme of things, it might be a point one, or it could be 2 points dropped, depending on where we fall at the end of the season. But I would much rather see this youthful team play with a little bit of swagger. And I can, as you said, Ross, you know, I can forgive those mistakes, or you can forgive those mistakes, is what you said at the time. And I agree with that. You know, I think you can look at it both ways, and I think Niall was absolutely correct to say it that way, but that change needed to happen sooner rather than later. You know, if they'd gone out with that team and lost 4-0, then we would be in serious, serious trouble. As it is, there's still green shoots, but we, you know, there's got to be that balance between, okay, we want to see this team play, we're excited about them, but we also got to get results now, you know, with all the off-the-pitch stuff that's going on. So, yeah, it's I don't think there's a really one-size-fits-all answer for that, but it's a really, really pertinent point to make, I think. So thanks, Niall. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for those. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. Come back safe, and you know, we'll see you soon. Alistair, what can Reading do to progress the ball better? We either seem too slow getting it through the thirds or direct too early when it's not going our way. How do we improve the slight disconnect between the midfield and defence? Craig. Michael Craig got us into a lot of trouble in the week, didn't he, Russ, with some comments going backwards and forwards. For what it's worth, if we're talking about, you know, Craig as a player, I really like him. I think he's really, really good. I think he offers something different to the midfielders that we've got, so he's a great option to have. Is he ready for regular first team football? I don't know. I'm not sure. What do you think about Alistair's question, Ross? You know, what can we do basically to progress the ball? How do we in the transitions, how do we get quicker?
I think that us having trouble getting the fullback sorted out right now is actually giving us some issues here. This is like a group therapy session. It really is, because as the podcast has gone on here, this is what's come to me now. It's the fullbacks, actually, because we've talked about that a little bit. We've talked about width a lot, and I think that...
You're just going to criticise anyone that isn't Tyler Bindon, aren't you? So it's just like, no, you could throw anybody under the bus at this, right? As long as it's not Tyler, it's like, no,
you watch. I'm gonna criticize Tyler. Don't worry. I think he's great, but like he's not a right back, and that's fine when you're playing in that sort of like back three build up structure. But like they seem to abandon it in the second half because of like we talked about because McIntyre is gone. In a perfect world, if you can do that sort of like 3-2 rest defense build up structure that a lot of Premier League clubs do, then great. But I don't think we have the players to do that much of the time. And maybe I'm wrong about that. I hope I'm wrong about that. That would be really, really cool. But I think we're in League One. We're playing teams like Port Vale and Northampton and Burton and all of that. At the end of the day, sometimes you need your fullbacks to just be really good at getting up the field and just affecting the game. And those are kind of the players that can move freely between the lines in those formations. So I would say that, especially out to, you know, towards the sidelines. So yeah, I think that getting some consistent fullback play is going to really make a difference. I can actually see Matt Carson breaking into that role and nailing it down full time. Maybe Muller will come back into the team and these early stages will just be remembered as some weird early sort of hiccups. But like I said earlier, Mbenge being gone for 6 weeks, that's a huge issue for me. And I think that is going to impact our ability going forward. So I think if we're going to improve, some of it's going to have to come from fullback performances. And I certainly think we can get it from Carson. It seems weird talking about not being sure on the right when Andy Yeardom is our captain. But I haven't seen a great performance from him yet this season. So.
You know, that says it all for me. That, you know, what you've just said there, I completely agree. And, you know, there's nothing else to say. That is, we're not convincing on the right. Yeah, completely agree.
Would you start Hinden or Yeardom at right back on, knowing that we can't put McIntyre on the, you know, so that they can slide across and do the fancy build-up play with Bindon and McIntyre? Like, knowing that he has to play as a conventional right back.
I don't see why Yeardon would come in. Like I said earlier, like if they didn't concede a goal. So technically it worked. Yeah. Like, stylistically it wasn't great, but it worked. So I don't know how you, because then what do you do in the middle there? It's very, very difficult, really. Unless you just revert to Abby and Bindon in the middle, Yeardon and Carson. But for me, I don't know. Is the short answer. One. I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens up front tomorrow night. I really am. And whether or not he goes, no, do you know what, you keep the shit, you crack on with it. Or he brings in, realistically, you know, Ballard for me, probably Aziz. If Vickers is available, he comes back in the squad straight away, probably even starts. So, yeah, I think the positive, really, and what I think we're probably overlooking is that we have got options. But we have to have that starting 11 that's pretty much nailed on every week, and then kind of fill in the gaps as and when we need them. So, yeah, it's a good point from Alistair. Thank you for that. Final one comes from my good friend Darren. Actually, it's not about me today, but you know, whatever. And just getting serious for a moment. Some of you may have seen that Jordan Norris, who a lot of you listening would have been familiar with. Probably interacted with him on Twitter, sadly and unexpectedly died last week. And in case you haven't seen it, Darren, who was a good friend of Jordan's, has set up like a GoFundMe page for the family and you know, kind of just trying to support them, you know, financially. So if you can, please donate to that. If you look on my, or actually underneath the post for this podcast, you know, Darren's on there. Have a look at his page. I think we've already shared it on the page anyway. I know that I've shared it too. But if you can donate, you know, please do that for Jordan's family, because it's incredibly sad. You know, just awful, really. So, you know, our thoughts are with his family at this time. But Darren does ask, you know, a really good question. He says, is Sellers the right man for the job? And he posted that literally without comment. It's literally just, you know, is Sellers the right man for the job? My answer is yes. I can sort of understand criticism of performances. I can understand maybe team selection, but all this nonsense about he's unproven, he's this, he's that. Well, who else are you going to get, first of all? And secondly, anyone who is still wanting to do this job in this position with all the stuff that's on you know, going on off the field. I can't imagine working in that environment. And, you know, we saw on Saturday the protest working again. And, you know, I thought the referee did quite well to take the team off at that point. Actually, you know, side point, I thought the ref was really good on Saturday, actually. I thought it was really, really fair.
Oh, interesting. Kind of.
Yeah.
I didn't notice him, so that's probably a good sign as well. Yeah. You know,
but
so
there you go. You know,
but yeah, we should talk about that actually, because we haven't talked about the process.
Yeah, yet. Well, I mean, we'll come back to that. But for me, like, I think Sellers has got a really good balance. You know, I get what he said in the aftermath of the game in terms of stop the protests, and he didn't really say that. It was kind of taken out of context, but he was kind of saying, look, you know, it's disruptive. That's kind of the point of it, really. And it, you know, it did the job, and it stopped the game for a considerable amount of time. I know from a player's point of view that's probably incredibly difficult to deal with, but this will continue until the club is sold and put in the hands of someone who is actually going to manage it like a football club and not a, you know, a plaything. But in terms of what Sellers has been able to achieve and try to implement with the absolute nonsense that's been going on, for me, he does get a buy. And I know people listening to this will go, that's preposterous, but it's just kind of the way I feel. We can't keep changing managers. You know, you can't, at some point you've got to go, this is what we're sticking with, and come hell or high water, this is what we've got to get through. I don't know how you feel about that, Ross, really. I kind of went on a bit of a rant there, didn't I?
No, I liked it. There's a passion defence. I think that what these comments get at is that it is now, at least, we're getting towards the time whereby we can, or at least we feel like within the season, we're getting to the time whereby we should be able to comment on the managerial performance and things like that. And like I was saying, you know, it ain't September anymore, even, you know, it's not August. We're getting into, you know, when the games are coming thick and fast in the season. We've got three this week, like we've talked about. So I can understand that people are getting to the point whereby they want to be able to criticize the manager. And I'm criticizing today that not enough width, and there's a need for a plan B with the attack. So for sure, there are things that need to improve. Now, that said, I think we have to look at, like you're saying, the whole situation. And I think that Sellers has really bought into the club as well as buying into just wanting to get to be a manager and to get like his say on like what's going to happen with the team and all those kinds of things. One of the little aspects from the Athletic article about the club that came out earlier this week that I liked was talking about Sellers having put up lots of pictures of the 106 season and the Premier League season and stuff like that around the ground and around the training ground and stuff like that. And I think it's an attempt from Sellers to actually engage with the history of the club and like remind the players that, you know, even though we're having this tricky situation right now off the field, this is like a, you know, it's a big club, and there's a lot of people who support this club, and the club have done, you know, really great things in the past. So I think that for now he's the right man for the job, because he seems to be making an attempt to understand the club. I think that he has demonstrably improved the quality of the football that we're watching each week, even if the results aren't quite there yet. Certainly it's time to really start looking at how he is, how he's doing at getting results. But again, when you have your game delayed, when you're still in the state of having your games delayed for, you know, each time you play at home, because the ownership situation is so bad, it's really tough just to concentrate on the pitch stuff. So, yeah, I think he's the right man for the job too. And apparently he makes me rant too. So clearly he's a man who inspires a lot of emotion either way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people say, okay, when is he not the right man for the job? But I don't know. I feel like he is giving the absolute best, as we said, in difficult circumstances. And, you know, unlike the previous manager, he's not intent on trying to upset the fan base with, you know, negative, patronising nonsense, basically. And it would have, you know, obviously we're saying he's getting paid. Well, he's not. I mean, he doesn't know if he's going to get paid from month to month, really. But a lot of other managers, I think, would have just jacked it in at this point. Like, I think they would have just gone, no, I'm all right. And he has a belief system in place. And whether or not people agree with that, you know, he's putting a lot of faith into these younger players who, you know, I'm very keen and eager to support. Likewise, it doesn't mean we can't call out bad performances, but you know, there is a nucleus there of players that I want to see perform and succeed, and he's in that, really. Like, I want nothing more than for us to start winning games and for him to kind of be looking up rather than down. But you know, we have to win games ultimately, and I don't think he can be sacked either, because I don't think there's anyone to sack him at the moment, is there? Unless that's suddenly Mark Bowen's remit. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, this is the farcical thing about Reading Football Club in late 2023. So, yeah, even if he was doing terribly, I don't even know if there was anyone employed to actually or allowed to sack him. So, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. But you know, it's worth asking the question, and I know a lot of people have said, well, you know, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. For me, he has my support at this stage, and I'm hoping that we're still talking about him come the end of the season and looking forward to next season. So that's where I'm at. Right, we're gonna round off the pod with a preview. Two games coming up, both on the road. Yay, happy days. Love away games. So we're going to head into that after this very short announcement.
There's another huge game ahead for the Royals. So be loud and be proud for the big match preview.
Right, Ross, we are recording this sort of Monday evening. So we are, you know, 24 hours away from a trip to Northampton, which is, you know, a nice part of the world, really. Not too bad. Currently, they sit 17th in the table. And then we go up, to Leyton Orient on Saturday, who at this present moment in time are 16th in the table. So, on paper and form-wise, they are games that we should be definitely looking to get points out of. However, we are in a situation, as we all know, where our away form is basically like a constant state of Halloween celebrations, but without the celebrations. Let's talk about Northampton first of all. Do we get anything out of that game? Like, what? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, no, we do. I think we're going to, especially once you laid out just so clearly that it's the 16th and 17th place teams in the league. And these are teams that we'd be right around if we hadn't had the 4-point deduction too. Like, we'd be on the same points as Northampton. So, we should be able to compete and we really should be able to. I would hope that we can win one of these games. I really don't think that these are both losses. If these are both losses, then you and I need to start doing some sort of curse-breaking things on this podcast, because the away form will be getting ridiculous at that point. I think we've talked about sort of the lineup changes that we might like to see in the next couple games, and really for me, Vickers is the one that I want to get back and inject that creativity into the attack. I think that I'd bring Aziz out of the firing line just for a little bit, and maybe Elliot too, because I didn't think he was amazing on Saturday. If we can't get a win out of one of Northampton and Leyton Orient, then what are we doing, man? Like, should we even bother playing away games anymore? Might just be worth taking the forfeit at that point. So,
I think the key thing really is don't lose the games. You know, if we get 2 points out of it, you know, you could still go, that's crap. But actually, where we're at with our away form and other bits and pieces, like, you know, 2 points is 2 points. Yeah, that kind of gives us a bit more of a solid platform. We then have Swindon at home in the cup, which, you know, obviously you want to beat your local rivals, but given everything else, like, I'm not, again, I'll get powers for this, but I couldn't really care less about that game. You know, if you bring in some under 21s or whatever, fantastic. You know, and then we're international break, where we've got, you know, a little period where we can kind of work on things on the training ground and stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, we lose both those games and the narrative changes again. Like, it does get a little bit more intense, and I really don't want that in early October. Like, I want it to be, okay, well, we picked up points here. I just think as long as we don't lose those games, that'll be a positive thing, because it kind of stops the rot a little bit. You know, we win one of them, everyone's out on the streets in Reading, do you know what I mean? Because it's got that serious. And at some point, you know, we have to win an away game. It's just by law of average, it's going to happen.
Right.
So Marta's probably one of these. You know, the following that the club are getting away from home is outstanding. You know, the home attendances are probably higher than I thought they would be, which again is testament to the resilience of the fan base in terms of how they're going and what they want to see from the team. But, you know, we just can't lose those games. You know, forget everything else, where we are in the league at the moment. Like, if we lose them both, the gap's going to get a little bit bigger. Because, as you say, there are teams around us. And the mentality shift there is like, well, hold on a second. If these teams are beating us, where are we actually at in the pecking order? So, it's not, they're not easy games. To mention as well, we've got Fleetwood, in midweek towards the end of the month, who are below us as well. So we get two wins out of those. You know, we get a sort of an all right result to build a bit of momentum against Swindon in the Cup on the 10th. And then we're kind of back round to that league cycle. We've got Fleetwood and then we've got that horror show against Portsmouth. So, you know, that's our month, really. It really is a question of not losing those games and building stability. But, you know, we'll see. Just a quick word. I know we talked about formation or rather team selection. Where do you think the change will be tomorrow against Northampton, if there is a change? So, Aaron, let me change the question. Let me do like that proper interview. Like, you make one change tomorrow. You get one change to make to the starting 11. Who is it and why?
I get one change. Limiting it down to one change makes my life a little bit more difficult. I suppose that's the point. This is me buying time. I think that it's the one that we talked about earlier. It's switching out. It's switching out Makeru for Nibs, or other way around, I suppose. So just to see, I don't think that the fullback question that we've talked about earlier in this podcast is going to be solved by the time this game comes around, personally. So if we're talking about trying to, you know, get some width and some different ideas on the attack, then I think I want to see Makeru rather than Nibs for this game.
Interesting. I'm going to ask myself, because seeing as you couldn't be bothered to ask me the question, I'll ask myself the question. Ben, you can make one change for the game tomorrow. Who is it and why? Great question, Ben. I am going to have... I'm going to take Aziz out. Like you said, take him out of the firing line is a good way of looking at it. I'm going to take him out. And I'm going Ballard. I think he's going to be a stunner. But again, it comes down to consistency of selection. And actually, like, we've got to get these partnerships sorted. Like, they've got to be, you know, your first choice, your second choice, but I'm not going to tell you that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think Ballard comes in personally. I get what you're saying about the width, but I think Nibs, there's still some growing to do with him at this club. And Elliot, I like as a player, and I think he just needs consistency in minutes to be able to kind of stamp his authority on the game, or games rather. If I could only make one change, and there's no injuries, Aziz, or Ballard for Aziz.
Nice. If I was switching Aziz, it would be for Vickers, but I do like Ballard.
Well, it depends if Vickers is fit. Anyway, we could go on. We could do this for hours, couldn't we? We could do this to hypothesize.
Yeah, yeah.
We will sure enough find out. We are less than 24 hours away. Yeah, exactly. Well, we're less than 24 hours away from that game. Let's hope for a win. If you are going to both those games, enjoy yourselves. As I said, the away support has been absolutely phenomenal this season. Absolutely fantastic. I know there's only a few tickets left for Northampton and Orient sold out. Super quick, actually. Yeah, no tickets available at all for that currently. So, you know, phenomenal effort. Let's hope for some points this week. We could do with them. We really could. Let's hope for some sort of semi-positive news off the pitch as well. Ross, have a really, really good week. I hope you recover from your football marathon pretty quickly, sir.
Oh, come on. Why has it done that right at the end? Hang on. Do you want to start that again? You can hear me?
Yeah, which bit? I can hear you.
Sorry, yeah. Do you want to do this? Just start the goodbye again. Yeah, sorry.
Ross, have a really good week. I hope that you recover from your football marathon and maybe get some more pizza in you. Who knows?
Yeah, thank you. Much appreciated. I'll definitely be seeking out more pizza.
Have a really good week, everybody. Yeah, keep going. It's tough at the moment, but, you know, we'll get there. And, you know, I feel like things are starting to move in a positive way. I hope so, anyway. Take care of yourselves, and we will see you next Monday for more pod action. Come on, you Oz.